about dead end, U-turn, okay. How many know if you're at a dead end, it's all right to make a U-turn? And my son, I go to John Thomas and I tell him the title of my message and give him my points and so on and so forth. And I ask him to do the artwork. He does all the artwork. And when I told him dead end, U-turn, okay, he said, and if you're at a dead end, you can rewrite your story. And how many know that's what we need to do? We need to rewrite the story of our life. So I'm going to share 4 points with you this morning out of Mark chapter 16. So if you would, go to Mark chapter 16, verse number 1, just to give you a little bit of idea about this portion of the word. If you go backwards in the Bible, you find out Jesus Christ has already died. He's already taken all of our sins, and they've put him in the tomb. And these followers, that's an important word, these followers of Christ. In other words, this story is about believers. Anybody here want to qualify for that one? It's talking about those that have, if you will, have confessed with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in their heart, God the Father raised them from the dead. How many know I am a believer? By the way, if I sniffle a little bit this morning, just realize I'm built upside down. Yeah, my nose is running and my feet smell, okay? Y'all got that? Some of you need to wake up this morning. You want Oral Roberts, you're getting oral hygiene, but it's all right. But we need to understand this is about followers of Jesus. These people come, these followers of Jesus are coming to the tomb to anoint the dead body of Jesus Christ. And when they get there, most of us know the story, Jesus is not there. But our life sometimes is at a dead end. We need to make a U-turn. So I've got 4 points for you this morning. And what points are, so you can understand what my points are all about, they're simply a reference, are you ready, that you can embrace that contain a multiplicity of ideas and thoughts. That's all it's for. For example, point number one is, he's gone, you're late. You can remember that. Is something you and I get to hold on to because it's talking about prayer. See, a lot of us, our prayer life is at a dead end. In fact, we could put it in a really youthful word, it sucks. Because we got this spiritual concept that we have got to get up at oh dark 30 in the morning to pray. Hello? Knock, knock, McFly. He's gone. You're late. See, he was up a long time ago. He's been up all night. Amen. But we've got this thing we think is so spiritual because you know, Jay, verse number 2 says that early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher when it was yet dark. It's in the Bible, Jay. I know. And so is Judas hung himself. Go and do thou likewise. Doesn't mean I make a doctrine out of something like that. Hello. See, we need to understand what early is. Early is being prepared for whatever comes your way. Yeah. Psalm 63, verse number 1 says this, early will I seek him. That word early means preparation. Whatever it takes to be prepared in advance, with determination or with an earnestness. See, Jesus prayed before the battle. He prayed after the battle. But do you know what he did most of the time during the battle? He said, it is written. Let me give you a picture of this. How many know that if you're trying to figure out what the Word of God has to say in the middle of a firefight, you're going to get your tail whooped? I mean, think about it. You're a police officer. You're a soldier. Doesn't matter what you are. You're in the middle of a gunfight. I mean, they're smoking every which way, and your gun jams. Can you imagine standing up in the middle of a gunfight and go, stop in the name of love. My gun is jammed, Mr. Bad Guy, Mr. Enemy. Would you cease fire while I figure out how to fix this malfunction? I got the manual right here. We laugh, but there's a lot of Christians that do that. See, but being early means I've already put the word in. Being early means I've already talked to the boss. Amen. That's all early is. So we need to maybe make a U-turn. You can pray at noon. Amen. Am I doing okay? See? Need to understand, he's gone, you're late. You won't forget that. That's a point. You just grab that. You can run with it now. And it's going to make you laugh a little bit. But let's go on a little bit. How about this with your prayer life? What? Couldn't you pray 1 hour? Don't you love God? He's sitting down there going, I do now, I do now. I'm sorry, thank you. How many of you have ever heard that? But we've got have to learn to take it in context. See, if you look at Matthew 26, where he says, what, could you not pray 1 hour? Do you know the multitudes were not there? That means most of us weren't included. Do you know the 12 disciples were not there? Hey, this circle's getting a little bit smaller. Do you know that maybe, just perchance, there are three guys there, Peter, James, and John. But I think he left two of them behind too and took one leader with him named Peter. I mean, you ought to be able to expect me to pray 1 hour. But can the rest of you tomorrow morning, I'm going to help you now, get up and do this. Are you ready? Good morning, God! Instead of good God, it's morning. See, we're on a roll. What you need to understand about your prayer life and a U-turn is okay is that prayer life's based on capacity. It's not based on length of time. In Exodus 16:16, when the manna came down from heaven, this is what God instructed them about manna. He said, let every man eat according to his eating. Listen, do not take any extra because it will be rotten to your flesh. So if your capacity for prayer is 3 minutes and I force you to pray an hour, do you realize 57 minutes of that hour is rotten and you'll quit praying? But if I follow the order of this book is the most practical book. It was never intended to beat people up. That's why tonight when you come in here about One Life, you're going to leave here differently than you came in. You're going to leave here differently than you came in this morning. Because God said, Jake, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel's good news. That means I can't preach it mad, sad, or bad. That's why I'm always happy. I'm just happy. I mean, I am happy. You should be with us. I'm happy with the pastors. We get in the car and we laugh. I mean, we've almost had 72 hours together and we're all still holding our sides. We laugh. That's all we do. We laugh. Life's a trip. I'm happy. Some of you need to be happy. Just happy. That's what the book does. It makes me happy. I've never read anything in this book where God ever puts me down. God is not the rain on your parade, God. Amen. And by the time I get to point number 4, you're going to know that. He's not. See, the Bible says in John 3, you must be born again. Is that cool? How do you get born again, by the way? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God the Father raised him from the dead, you're born again. It's not like religion. Religion is like taking the donkey that we are. It kind of trims our hooves and trims our mane and paints our hooves. But when they put us behind the gate at the racetrack and the gun goes off and the gate opens up, we're still an old donkey. What Jesus does when you say yes, that's all you have to do. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, it's so easy. Just say yes. I receive that. And instantly, God takes the donkey out, puts himself in. Now when you get behind the gate and the gun goes off and the gate opens, you can run the race that is set before you. So you get born again. Then he says this, as newborn babies, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word. Hebrews 5:14 says, strong meat. Anybody catching this? Come on, catch up with me. Get born, drink milk, have steak. Isn't that simple? You don't get born, eat steak, die. Because if you feed a child steak, they're going to die. So he's showing me how my prayer life, it grows progressively. There was a time in my life when I could out-eat my son. Did that make me a bigger man or a bigger pig? See, it has to do with capacity. So my prayer life is based on now capacity. He's gone. You're late. Enjoy it. Just pray what you can pray. Because just like that little baby that starts with the milk, if I let the natural spiritual thing take its course, you'll start praying longer because you want steak. You want more palatable things in your life. And then how about this one? Here's a humdinger. You all ready for this one? 1 Timothy 2:2 says, 1 and 2 says, Pray for kings and all that are in authority. Have you ever thought about praying for all that are in authority? Do you realize there's, if God gave us 72 hours in a day, you wouldn't have enough time. So how can you possibly pray for kings and all that are in authority? Because there's a lot of people in your life in authority. From the governors, the mayors, the police, the fire department, the paramedics. I mean, there's a bunch of people all the way up to Obama. So how do you pray? Watch. Learn to listen to your heart. You just start praying. You can do it all day long. But there's a glorious upside. See, you learn to listen to your heart. It might be a picture. It can be a word. You can be talking with pastors. You can be talking with me. And a name comes up. And I was thinking, oh, I got to pray for that person. Now, what are you doing? Watch. You're teaching yourself how to hear and respond to the voice of God. And you're learning how to do it in your prayer closet. What a neat thing. And then it says in John 4:34, I believe it is. It is. Trust me. Or look it up. Are you ready for this one? It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Might be verse 24. Did you hear that? Yes. They must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I know Jesus said, my word is truth. But how about the other side of truth? Some of you need to make a U-turn because your life in prayer is at a dead end. You can pray the word all day long. But sometimes, did you ever know the truth is you hurt? The truth is life sucks. Truth is sometimes you're mad. The truth is sometimes you're just flat ticked off. The truth is sometimes you're even, don't get mad at me now, you're even mad at God. Say that around religious people and they're going to natural childbirth, you know. Mean you're mad at God? Anybody around you ever died and you sat there and go, God, that's not right? Get mad. They that worship God must learn to do what? Be honest with God in prayer. He can handle it. You got a peewee God? A peewee Herman God? Little midget God walking around? He can handle anything you got. And let me just blow you away, okay? He knew you were going to be ticked off before the foundation of the world. You are not going to catch him by surprise. You're not going to go to God this afternoon and go, God, I'm just mad. God's going to go, oh, self. Oh, that took me by surprise. It's not going to happen. But what freedom we have when we get to ventilate and be honest to God. And I'm not talking being honest to one another. You're not very rarely going to hear me talk anything out of sorts besides what this word has to say. Because when I'm walking, my walk's going to be with that. But I have a God that loves me. In John 21, verse number 5, Peter is kind of backslidden. He's lied, denied, he's cursed, knowing he is Jesus. He's now out fishing. God called him away from that. And Jesus says to this lying, denying, cursing, backslidden brother, listen, do you have any meat? Jesus said in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of the Father. By the way, worship in spirit and truth is John 4:24. He said, my meat, my purpose, my will is to do his will. Jesus said, do you have a purpose in your life, Peter? And Peter said, are you ready? No. Truth. See, had he said, yes, I believe I receive, and 1,000 other things, that story just ended. But because he was honest, God had a solution. How's your prayer life? Is it at a dead end? How about today we make a U-turn? Besides, he's gone, you're late. Did you know you'll never please, are you ready for this one? You will never, ever, ever please the devil in your prayer life. Some of you look like that little guy on my computer, got a light bulb over the top of his head. What do you mean you'll never please the devil? Go ahead, pray 1 hour. And he'll tell you, had you prayed 2 hours, this wouldn't happen. So you'll pray 2 hours, and he'll say, should have prayed 10 extra minutes, and then that wouldn't happen. If you had prayed 4 hours, then that would, he will never let you be satisfied with your prayer life. Amen. So why don't you just hang it up? You've been at a dead end. Listen to what I'm telling you, and start enjoying life so you can walk out of here singing zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Jesus, my Savior, he's on his way. Oh, Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's actual, it's factual, it's satisfactual. Yeah. Some of you need to learn that song, or my second favorite church song. Y'all ready for this one? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf, the big bad wolf. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Not me, not me, not me. My Jesus set me free, so I'm free, free, free. You ready for song number three? Some of you already know it. Are you ready for it anyway? I mean, I already hung myself, so. I feel good, da 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 da. I knew that I would. Glory to God. And as long as I've hung myself, how many want to hear number four? The question is, are you grown up enough for number four? Because here's number four. Come on, baby, light my fire. Yeah. I can't help it. I like the lady. Been married to her for 31 years. I'm in love. I'm always good. Some of you are looking at me like, what planet did I come from? What's really amazing is I have a pair of eyes and I'm looking at you. And I'm wondering what planet you came from. Some of you are sitting there like big eyes, like a cow at a new gate. Can we really go through that gate? See, is your life at a dead end? You've been singing the same song. It rhymes, but it's not good. I'm depressed. I'm depressed every day that I'm alive. I'm a mess. When I wake up in the morning, I lay my head to rest. I'm depressed. See, if that's your song, folks, maybe take my song, okay? Where do you get your songs, Brother Jay? Walt Disney. Where do you get yours? Point number two. Now, if you look at the way that my son did this thing, if you look at the front, he's sketching. He's sitting down with a notepad and he's just, you know, doodle a little picture. On the backside, he doodled something else. He put a little post-it up there. So I want you to put a post-it because we're rewriting the story. And point number two says, he ain't stuck. Turn around. Well, kind of go through, turn around and put this down. This ain't good English, but it fits. You ain't either. He ain't stuck. You ain't either. And I know you're not supposed to say ain't, but how many know ain't rings? He isn't stuck. You are not either. Ain't fits, okay? So you put a line through him, go, he ain't stuck, and I ain't stuck. Hello. Because in verse number four, they came to the tomb, and Jesus, and the tomb is rolled away, and guess who ain't in the tomb? Jesus. Guess what? He walked out. Amen. Isn't that simple? Amen. See, what's holding you down? What's got you shut up? See, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:17 through 19, it says, Paul praying, says, I pray that you'd have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you, listen, would know the hope of his calling, the riches of the inheritance of the saints, listen, and the exceeding greatness of his power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's directed towards you. The same power that caused Jesus to walk out of that tomb is the same power that's in you when you got born again. What's got you stuck? We're stuck in a rut. I kind of look at some of us like we're in the same tomb. But we're at the back of the tomb trying to dig our way out. Turn around and see the light and walk out. He made a way for you and I to walk out. Matthew 11:28 says, come on to me. You'll like this one. Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Did you notice? It doesn't say, come on to me, all ye that are happy, jovial, blessed beyond blessings. It says, you got a problem. Come here. Isn't that cool? He says, all you that are heavy laden, burdened down, he says, just come to me. What did they do? They were coming to Jesus. These were followers. Verse number 3 says, and while they're going there, they said, who shall move the stone? See, we're always looking somewhere except where we should, to Jesus Christ. We're always looking who, what, when, where. Oh, hey, how am I going to get this done? I just need to look at Jesus. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there's a famine in Samaria. The famine is so bad. I'll tell you in a minute what they do. But the king comes by and these ladies start complaining to the king. And this is what the king said. If the Lord cannot help you, then how can I? And then they told him what was going on. They were boiling their children and eating them because the famine was so great. When the king heard that, the only thing he could do was rent his clothes. He had no solution. The people around you don't have a solution. But God had a solution. And his solution is in chapter 7, verse number 1. And he said, this time tomorrow, you'll buy a loaf of bread for a penny. God has a way of turning things around, reversing them. You see, when it says the stone was rolled away, the word rolled away means to reverse. See, your life might be going the wrong way. It's on a dead end, but you can reverse it and turn around. Mark chapter 1, verse number 15, 14 and 15 says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. And we've taken the word repent and making it, repent or you're going to hell. But that's not what it means. What it means is you're walking away from the light. You're at the back of the tomb trying to build a hole through the back of the tomb into a mountain. And God says, just turn around and see the light. Believe what I've done for you. Jesus never walked out of that tomb for himself. He walked out to show you, you could do it. They got there, the stone was rolled away. You know what that stone means? It means a stumbling stone. It means anything that causes you to trip, stumble, or err. What's right now causing you to trip, stumble, or err? I like it because the angel rolled it out of the way, pulled up a chair, and sat on a stone. Who's going to push it back? God ain't stuck. We aren't either. God isn't stuck. I ain't either. Psalms 34:19 says, 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Are you ready for this? But God delivers us out of them all. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against me will ever prosper. Every tongue that rises up in judgment against me, I will prove to be in the wrong. That is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. My righteousness is of him. Are you all starting to catch the picture? What's holding you back this morning? He already dealt with it. Which brings me to point number 3. Some of you are worried about your sin. Don't worry about it. I'll get to point number 4 in a minute. Some of you are worried about your failure. Don't worry about that. He dealt with that too. In this chicken soup, when I get to point number 4, you're going to say, Jay, why didn't you just keep it to the 6 words you had? Point number 3. He isn't here. Why are you? That's verse number 6. The angel talks to him and says, you seek Jesus of Nazareth. He is risen. He ain't here. Why are you? He ain't in the tomb anymore, folks. Amen. He ain't at the mausoleum no more. He ain't at the graveyard no more. He ain't at a dead place where dead people are doing dead things anymore. Amen. Why are you? Amen. Are y'all getting anything out of this morning? You're all so quiet. But Luke's account of this, Luke 24:6 says, why are you seeking the living among the dead? Huh? He ain't there. He doesn't hang out in tombs and graveyards, folks. Hello. Dead people do. See, there's a bad devil that hangs out in graveyards, and there's a living God that just flips around doing all kinds of good things. You know, working with cattle for so many years, you find out very quickly that when you go to gather cattle and you got the pin, you're doing your branding, you'll find out you got some mama cows that got a wrong brand on them and they got a little calf. So we have to put them aside because we're gentlemen. We can't put our brand on them because they belong to somebody else. But we're putting a brand on our cattle. But after we're all done branding, it takes us a little bit longer because now I got to keep those cattle back while I let the other mama cows and calves go out and bulls and so on and so forth. That's a lot of work. Then I got to ride back to the ranch, pick up a truck with a trailer, put all these cattle that don't belong to us in the truck and the trailer and drive them 5 or 6 miles on dirt roads to get them back to their owner. That's God. He's a gentleman. Right? He's going to take you back where you belong. Now, the devil ain't that way. If you end up on his property, he's going to put his brand all over you. Are you catching the picture? I kind of like that, though, because if he finds out real quick, a guy like me that's got God's brand, I'm a real hot shot. Say, what does that mean? That's that little probey thing that they use, and they poke a cow, and it goes, woo! Glory. We call it a taser. You're going to find out real quick, I am a hot shot. Hello? He tries to put his brand on me. I'm going to let him have it. You say, Jay, what's the point? Sometimes we end up in the devil's playground. Are you ready for this? It just happens. We didn't mean for it to happen. We didn't want it to happen. Would to God it never did happen. But sometimes it happens. Are you following me? I have a bumper sticker my wife's going to make, but I ain't going to tell you what it says. Okay. You'll have to ask her. I ain't telling you. But you all know what I'm saying. It just happens. Thank you. The light went off. Oh, yeah, I got it. Ha, I got it. Some of you are so holy right now, man. You got your little halos right here, and you're turning pink. You know what I'm talking about. It just happens. And when it happens, please listen to me. We do the very best job we can to get out of that happening. Until we grow and learn how to get out of it better the next time. Are you following me? And sometimes the decisions we make trying to get out of the bad situation we got in ain't such a good decision. In fact, sometimes it makes it worse and regrets get greater. Things happen. But we're growing. And we're growing. Why are we seeking the living among the dead? How many here are born again? You've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you've become like David in 1 Samuel 17. Here's David. He goes called before Saul, and Saul says to him, hey, you can't fight that boy. That Goliath, he's a man of war from his youth, and you're nothing but a ruddy-faced kid. And David says, I took on a lion. I took on a bear. I whooped them suckers. I whooped this dog, too. He's coming down. That's what it says. JL translation. Then it says this. Listen to me. Young people especially, listen. It says, then Saul armed David with his armor. And David put it on. And then David said, and took it off. Young people, listen to me. Don't ever choose to use what caused someone else to lose. If that armor was so good, why didn't Saul use it to go fight? But some of us have forgot where we've come from. Why are we seeking the living among the dead? The letter of the law kills, but the spirit brings life. And somehow we've put on the garment of, I forgot where I came from. I forgot the amount of grace God put in my life. I forgot what it took to get me where I'm at. And we've strapped on, please listen, a religious garment. And we're executors now of the law. The letter kills. Why are we looking to give people life in the land of the dead? if I take this book and beat you over the head with this book, you're never going to grow the way God wants you to. Why are we seeking the living? Don't you remember how we were so bound up? Some of you came out of Catholicism. Some of you are like me. I'm a Presbyterian boy. We've come a long way. I don't know. I've come a long way in Christ Jesus. I have a man at the gym that when I first met him at the gym, I mean, he wasn't hardly even saved. Now he's saved. He's got some words in love with Jesus, and he had a problem with his son. And he always forgets how long I've been walking with him to watch where he's got. And he expects his son to be perfect overnight.
Amen. That's right.
Things happen. And you hot shots with big boils under your arms, you don't think they do? Let's talk about the last time you loaded your diapers. What are you talking about? That's all I'm going to say about that. You know, things happen. We make mistakes. But I find the answer in the living, not the dead. I'm going to go back to the boss. Point number four. Y'all getting anything out of this? Ain't God good? Isn't it simple? Point number four. Go and tell the disciples. Verse number seven. Go and tell the disciples and Peter that I'll meet him in Jerusalem. Point number four says this. He's risen. Gotcha. Isn't that cute? He's risen. Gotcha. Don't you just like that? He's risen. You sin. Gotcha. He's risen. You mess up. Gotcha. See, he's gotcha. He's got your six covered. He's got your back covered. No matter what happens in your life, you can hear him say, gotcha. 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 Some of you are going to catch that about 2 o'clock this afternoon when you're swinging on your fan. Gotcha. You missed the mark. Gotcha. Disobeyed your parents. Gotcha. Went and shot it, poured it, sucked it, and snorted it. He still got you. That's why you want to be back tonight. He's got you. No matter what's going on in your life, he's got you. But you don't understand, Jay. I'm going through a divorce. He's got you. Amen. You don't understand my marriage. He's got you. You don't understand. He's got you. You better get your butt out of the way. Let him put his in there and you'll win. I know you wondered. You don't understand. What we do is we always put our butts in there. I know, but man, if I turned you upside down, you make a good motor. You know? It's always the same thing. We're always saying to people, but get your butt out of there. And let God move in. And you're gonna hear him say, gotcha! But got you! But got you! Can you hear it now? And then the devil comes up and starts playing with your head and you can go, ah, got you! Got you. Watch. See, you'll remember that. You're going to walk out of here going, gotcha. He's got my six. Yeah. Now you know why I can sing zippity-doo-dah. Because it don't matter what I've done right or wrong. All that matters is him anyway. If I could have done it myself, like some of you think you can. You feel my pants this morning? These suckers are starched. They hang on a hanger like this. Seriously, I have to rearrange them and they go just like like this. I have to fold them. My shirts are normally so starched, this feels like cardboard. But you know what's not starched in my life? My undies. Some of you are just pucker butted. You walk around just puckered up. Want to see it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, you need to loosen up, man. Take some mineral oil or something. Enjoy this life. But see, you don't know that God's got you. You think you got to get him. He's already got you. He's risen. He dealt with it. He took care of it. So watch how he said this. He said to the angel, go and tell Mary to tell the disciples that I'm risen. And I left out a word because I'm going to show you what's going on. Here's Jesus. He's talking to maybe Michael, the archangel. He's talking to Gabriel. He says, now look it. I want you to make sure you go tell Mary to tell the disciples I'll meet him in Jerusalem because I'm risen from the dead. He starts walking away. He turns. And he says, by the way, make sure you tell her to tell the disciples and Peter. Because right now, Peter don't feel very good. Right now, Peter feels really, really bad. So you tell Peter, gotcha. Because what you need to understand, Peter was a disciple, just like all of us that have named the name of Jesus. But can you hear him put your name in there? Go and tell the disciples and Jay. Because Peter had lied about his Christ, denied his Christ, cursed his Christ, and even backslid away from his Christ. And yet Jesus says, tell Peter, gotcha. It's okay. I'm risen. I dealt with it 2,000 years ago for you. You can get up today and run the race. Some of us are going to get to make a U-turn before we walk out of that door this morning. This is what he said. Because I rose, you will rise. Because I rose, you're going to get up. Because I rose, you're going to win. Because I rose, the victory belongs to you. Because I rose, you are triumphant. Gotcha. Every head bowed, every eye closed.